Week 5 NFL DraftKings main slate breakdown. Thanks to everybody for all the support so far this season. I hope everybody is enjoying it. To anybody that's new, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. This will be a walkthrough of the Week 5 DraftKings main slate breakdown. If you have FanDuel questions, anything like that, hit us up on Discord at WinDaily Sports, promo code STIX, that is STIX, for 50% off. That will have all of the projections that run through the 80 model, so receptions, yards, completions, all that good stuff, literally anything you could project and bet a player prop on. That is all customer facing over there at WinDaily Sports. I'm doing this a little earlier on Friday on the morning here, so I don't have all the practice reports, if any, for Friday, so we'll keep an eye out. Obviously, there's some news that already broke, so we know who a lot of guys that aren't playing, but quick recap of Week 5. Cash games kind of sucked because we used Rashee Rice. I did say lock Nico in, so that was tough, but used Nico in GPPs and also talked about going with the Steelers stacks on the early only slate and hit for 10K, so that was awesome. I don't know if you saw that. Won a tournament, had a takedown, almost won the 100K, that $15 entry. That's 150 max. I single bulleted it with that same lineup, but that was awesome. All the player props continue to move in the right direction, obviously hitting Russell Henley at the President's Cup, being the top rookie score, was huge. Hit for 4 units there, but plus 4.45 units last week on the sheet. If you do not have access to the sheet, it's just a Google Drive of all the bets that I make throughout the week, so definitely refresh that on a nightly or hourly basis if you're bored, but definitely trying to beat the market there before lines move the other way. Reach out to me on Twitter if you want access to that, but let's do this quick. Get into Week 5. I believe it's only a 12-gamer, which I love these more condensed slates. Starting with the first game, we got Carolina going to Chicago. Oh, shit. Let's go through the injuries. I'm sorry, guys. Let's do that first. Moving over to the injury report, what we got so far with the Bengals: Mike Hilton, cornerback, likely out. Sheldon Rankins, likely out again. I mean, Derrick Henry's going to probably smash again. Ravens looks like just Arthur Mollett is likely out. He's one of the quarterbacks that kind of shifts in and out, so not a huge miss for the Ravens. Do like their defense. Panthers, Shaq Thompson and Josie Jewell are both out, kind of like the only two run stoppers, quote unquote, that they may have. The Bills, clear. Khalil Shakir is out. Texans, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Robert Woods trending on the wrong side of questionable. We will likely see Tank Dell back. Colts, Jonathan Taylor is out. Anthony Richardson is highly questionable. It sounds like Joe Flacco will get the start there, but keep an eye out throughout the weekend for that. On the defensive side of things, Kenny Moore and Kwity Paye are likely out again, so this should be a great spot for Trevor Lawrence and company. Commanders, Brian Robinson is likely in. I know that he was dealing with some shit. Austin Eckler is back, so we'll see how that timeshare goes now that Brian Robinson has been insanely effective. I'm sure Austin Eckler will spell him a little bit and do more in the passing game. For the Browns, looks like just, I don't know, do we even care about that team right now? God damn it, I'm so mad about using Watson on the main slate. Like, dude, they march on the first drive of the game, it seems like, on a weekly basis. Maybe that's my exposure to the Browns, is start betting first drive touchdown or first drive score, at least, because they just seem to have that scripted first drive down to a science, and it's very effective. And dude, Amari Cooper, that was one of my biggest player props last week. There was no holding on that play. That was bullshit. That flag was like, I didn't even see the flag till well after the pass, so I don't know what's going on there. Amari should have had 100 plus and a score, and that would have saved the Deshaun Watson afternoon stacks, but it is what it is. But yeah, for the Browns, Njoku likely out again. Raiders, no Devontae. Max Crosby's likely out. DeCameron Richardson is likely out. One of their corners, Devon Diablo, likely out. And Zamir White on the wrong side of questionable right now so far. So keep an eye on that. I don't think that matters to you, but maybe opens things up for Madison. I don't think we want to do that, but who knows? For the Cardinals, pretty clean. Trey McBride is back. Love him this week. For the 49ers, Kittle is highly questionable, and Fred Warner has yet to practice. Their defense in general, there's many guys in the injury report, but those are two like the notable ones. Keep an eye on that. That could be a back-and-forth game where Arizona kind of gets back into the swing of things here and covers the points. For the Packers, Christian Watson is likely out. Luke Musgrave, highly questionable. Jair Alexander is back, and Romeo Doubs is not at practice as of Wednesday and Thursday, I guess, with a personal thing, so hopefully everything's well with him. It's a great spot for Romeo Doubs this week. If not, may have some interest in 3,300 Bo Melton. For the Rams, no Cup, and for the Giants, no Neighbors. Everything else, not too crazy. But Carolina, going to Chicago, opened up at 41.5, sitting at 41 pretty much everywhere, and the Bears giving 4. In terms of ownership, not a whole lot going on here. I don't think there's a ton of interest in this game. DeAndre Swift got it going again last week, which is great. Both quarterbacks going to be right around 1% owned. I do worry about the pace of this game. Chuba Hubbard, 20% owned. I get it. It's the Bears. You could run on them, but I'm not going to go to Chuba Hubbard at 6,100. I'd rather have Swift at 5,700, but it looks like the field will be interested in both of these guys. I'm seeing Deontay Johnson at 20% ownership, 18%. There's just no way. Xavier Leggett, 5,100, nice price, but I don't want to pick on the Bears secondary at all. In terms of coverage, like Carolina is just playing a ton of cover three and they're blitzing a lot. Like historically, it's hard to tell for like this year, but that's usually a spot where Keenan Allen just absolutely smashes. DJ Moore, I don't know what's going on with him. He seems pissed off every single week. 6,600, I'm probably going to fade that. If anything, if you want to go crazy and play like Caleb and Keenan Allen or go back to Roma Dunze, I guess you could do that. I'm not really interested in this game as a whole. And the tight end side of things, probably not playing roulette with any of them. Both defenses, Panthers defense, 2,400, 15% owned, I think. I think that's probably where most people will go in cash. But I don't know. You don't want to play the Panthers D. There's no one healthy, and whoever they did have healthy outside of J.C. Horn is not really good at football. Bears, 3,600. You could always do that, but I don't pay up for defense often. Moving on to Cincinnati hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore's a favorite here. And what is that spread? We got Baltimore favored by 2.5, depending on the book. A total of 49, so they do expect a lot of points to be scored here. Lamar's going to be sub 10%. I love him this week in terms of GPPs. I just don't know if I can afford him. And Joe Burrow's going to be sub 5%. This is a pass funnel in Baltimore. You can't really run on them, and I don't really love the running game for Cincinnati as a whole. On the defensive side of things, the Ravens will have a lot of blitz. And they mix it up pretty well with a lot of man and zone coverage, but a good bit of cover one and mainly cover four in zone. But they have had some big leads this season, so it's probably why we're seeing more cover four, especially that Dallas game. I think that's all they did is play cover four and like prevent and then let Dallas right back into that game. And then obviously kick the shit out of the Bills last week. So it should be a boost to Gesicki. I don't like how much we're seeing Eric All. On a Cincinnati side of things, I'm sorry. But for the Ravens, it should be a great uptick for Zay Flowers and honestly like Rashad Bateman, potentially a tight end. I don't understand what's going on with Mark Andrews, and they're not like using Isaiah Likely a ton since week one. So it's a weird situation there for the Cincinnati Bengals, or I'm sorry, Cincinnati Bengals are going to run a ton of man in zone with a lot of cover one, not much blitz. That is the uptick for Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, I'm sorry there. And for the Ravens, yeah, they mix it up a good bit. Cover one, cover four, that should be a boost to Gesicki and T. Higgins. I do like T. Higgins at 6K this week. Let's go into the ownership. Derrick Henry's probably going to be 25-30% owned. I have nothing wrong to say about him. Just paying 7,800 for Derrick Henry, it's like the payoff, you need the 102 touchdowns because he doesn't do anything in the passing game for the most part. So won't talk you off him. Probably not a priority play for me, but it's such a good spot. Jamar Chase, 8K. It's like I'd rather have T at 6K for $2,000 less. And both all receivers in this game are sub 10%. So getting different in GPPs with a high total, this game definitely offers that. Tight ends, not playing Eric All at 2,700. I think, again, this is a better spot for Gesicki. He is running more routes when they need pass plays. So Gesicki, maybe a little dart, but not really interested. I think my guys here would be, you know, price agnostic. Jamar Chase is fantastic, but for the price, T. Higgins and Zay Flowers at no ownership, I could definitely get behind that. Lamar Jackson is probably one of my favorite GPP quarterbacks on the slate. Banged up Buffalo going into Houston. We have the Bills opened as a one-point dog, sitting at a one-point dog, and that line opened, that total opened at 47.5. It's pretty much sitting there. Let's go into the defenses for that. For Houston, we're going to see a good mix of man and zone, kind of like what we're seeing with the Ravens. They, you know, kind of like a middle of the pack blitz rate, should see a lot of cover one and above average cover four rate, similar to Ravens. It's like when Houston's winning, they're winning by a good bit, and we'll also see a little bit of cover three. So yeah, they mix it up a ton against the cover one. That should be advantage, actually. Dalton Kincaid with or without Shakir playing there. Against cover four, that's going to be Kincaid again. And cover three, it's going to be the slot, which Shakir is not there. So I think Kincaid's in a great spot. This is, I wanted to bet his reception prop over 4.5. It's plus 130 last night at one of the books I was looking at. That is now juice on the over. So I think I missed it. But yeah, love Kincaid here. I do worry about Buffalo's offense, and Josh Allen could always throw picks. So if you like Houston's defense for 2,600, you could do worse there. For Buffalo's D, it's pretty much all zone. They don't even blitz. Still run a lot of cover two, which is interesting. But Diggs versus the zone should be awesome. Nico Collins pretty much just gets 10 to 12 targets every single week, so I can't say anything bad about him. But Nico was the spot for me last week because of how much man coverage the Jags want to play and how much they blitz. Like, that is Nico's spot. I don't love him as much here. I'm not going to pay $7,700 for Nico. And even Stephon Diggs, revenge game, if you want to call it that, $6,900. Pretty steep, but yeah, this is the spot you probably want to play Diggs if you don't care about pricing. And if you got him in season log, obviously you're still probably starting him. But quarterback ownership, end of the week, love Josh Allen. But without Shakir, I think that bumps it down a little bit. Houston's defense is pretty banged up, as much as I like. Do you want to play them at $2,600 as a punt? A little bit concerned there. But Josh Allen, $7,700, 5% owned. C.J. Stroud, $7,200, 3% owned. So no ownership on this game, decently high total. James Cook, 7K, probably a little too steep for me. Sub 10% ownership. You're probably not playing any of the Houston running backs. Again, Nico Collins, too expensive. Stephon Diggs, probably too expensive, but great spot. So if you want to get different, I'm sure these guys will be like right around 10% ownership. Tank Dell's back, 5,400 against the zone. Don't hate that at all. 5,400 could be a good spot to get different. And then Dalton Kincaid, probably one of my favorite tight ends. I'll probably go there in cash. 5,300, 15% ownership. It's either Tucker Kraft chalk right now or Dalton Kincaid. I would much rather have Dalton Kincaid in cash. But if all the ownership's going to Kraft, we'll probably use that as punt. Moving on to the next game, the Colts going to Jacksonville. Don't want to talk about this game a ton because it depends on Joe Flacco, Anthony Richardson. But with Indy, on their defensive side of things, very low blitz rate, pretty much all cover three. Like, they just do nothing but zone for Gus Bradley. That is a massive, massive upgrade in expected target share for Brian Thomas Jr. This is a monster Brian Thomas Jr. week this week. He is a priority play for me. The only downside to, like, how high I could project him, he was the first player prop I bet on the sheet at over 50.5. I think every book now moved up to, like, 54 range. Is if Evan Ingram plays, I think that's maybe a little bit of a downgrade to Brian Thomas, but so much of an upgrade if we lose a little bit of that. Still love him, 5,900. Fire it all the way the hell up. For Jacksonville, yeah, like I said, a lot of man coverage, which is wild with that personnel and a high blitz rate. That's going to be Michael Pittman and Josh Downs. We know Josh Downs gets his work no matter what. Going on the inside of Jacksonville is a great way to beat them, but anywhere in that secondary is very beatable. Love Pittman, love Josh Downs, especially if Joe Flacco plays. If Richardson plays, I probably will fade both of them. But on the quarterback side of things, Trevor Lawrence, 5% ownership. I think that'll be higher. I think people will have a little bit of an appetite to pay down this week because they're going to try to force in, you know, Derrick Henry or keep chasing the Jordan Mason points. Like, running back is pretty tough outside of DeAndre Swift in terms of value this week. So I think people will pay up there and have to pay down a little bit at quarterback. So I do think Richardson is over 5% ownership this week. But if not, I will be very interested in him being my, like, puke quarterback play that I continue to keep playing every week in GPPs. Worked in the early only with Fields and obviously worked 2 weeks ago with Caleb Williams at the Colts. But same situation here. Trevor Lawrence is probably a more established quarterback for, like, success rate than Caleb Williams, but Trevor Lawrence looks like shit this year. But there's any week, it's this week, especially with Kenny Moore, Quiddy Pay. Like, these guys are banged up for the Colts. Going on to running back spot here, no ownership on Travis Etienne, 2%, but we're seeing a lot of Tank Bigsby, so I don't know. I love Travis Etienne in a game stack, maybe early only if you want to go 3-2. You know, Lawrence, Etienne, a pass catcher, run it back with. Well, you're not probably playing Trey Sermon. I don't know. 5,700 for Trey Sermon is just an easy pass when Swift is the same price. I do worry about Swift on the goal line, but Tank Bigsby's getting a lot of work too, so keep an eye on that. Wide receivers, Brian Thomas, probably 10 to 15% ownership. Michael Pittman, 15 plus. Downs, probably 15 plus. Like, people are going to go to these spots. They are cheap wide receiver ones and 1Bs for Josh Downs. Brian Thomas, probably my favorite play of the week. And if no one's playing Christian Kirk, I'll play Christian Kirk. I think that's probably my early only lineup is a Trevor Lawrence double stack with Thomas and Kirk, running it back with Pittman or something like that. Maybe even triple stack if you want to use ETN. It'd be crazy. Miami, New England. Fuck that game. If Evan Engram is back for the Jags, I'm okay with it, but I don't know. I want to see it first. Cleveland, Washington. Probably going to say fuck that game. I'm not going back to Watson. I don't know. This is probably the week he does it against Washington, but Washington's defense is getting a little bit better. Did just shut down the Arizona Cardinals for whatever that is worth these days. Moving on to the afternoon. Probably going to say fuck this game three times in a row. This is great. Las Vegas and Denver. I'm not going to go through coverages. This total is like, what, 35.5? Love Brock Bowers at like 1% ownership. 5,500 against Denver. They cannot cover the tight end. They cannot cover the scheme for Brock Bowers. Surtain will not see much of him. I love him there. I just worry about volume. On the other side, the same reason I absolutely loved Amari Cooper last week. I am okay if you want to play a one-off Cortland Sutton. I know the volume in the pass game is not really there. I have no interest in a popular Javonte Williams. I've seen him for like 15% ownership. Solid game against the Jets, but that was just, I don't know, game script. It was so low scoring, he had to get 15-plus touches. He probably gets 15-plus touches again this week. Maybe I'll play Javonte in cash. It depends on him or Swift right now for cash. But moving on to the next game, Arizona-San Fran should be a very interesting game. I do think Arizona keeps it close, like I mentioned earlier. This game opened up at San Fran minus 7.5. It is sitting there. Total of 49.5 also sitting there. For the San Fran side of the defense, they play a lot of man coverage compared to like the NFL average and compared to what we've usually seen from San Fran. So Nick Sorensen is definitely changing some things up there. But they mix it up with everything. You know, cover one, they're playing cover two, playing cover three, playing cover four. Like, it's a good mix of everything. It's really hard to tell who gets the bump up. I just like the game script side of things, as if they are supposed to score that much. 29-point team total, like, that's insane. Arizona's going to have to chuck it, and San Fran's defense is pretty banged up. Trey McBride, probably my favorite tight end play of the week. Brock Purdy, nice GPP quarterback, probably safe cash floor, 6,200, seeing like 7 to 8% ownership. Kyler, 1%. Maybe this is the week we go to Kyler in GPPs. 1% Kyler, I didn't even really look at that. Like, everybody's going to play Jordan Love. It's interesting to see where projections go if Richardson is ruled out. So we'll see. Brock Purdy's probably going to go up a little bit, but Jordan Love's probably the cash game guy. And you can play him in GPPs too, but Kyler, very interesting. Running backs, Jordan Mason, 35% ownership. That's a huge price, but dude, he does get 25 touches. So I don't hate it, but I do worry about the pass game. Like, I'd rather pay for a running back in that price that is a three-down back getting a lot of passing work. Jordan Mason doesn't check that box, but he's got to be like minus 250 to score, so I'm okay with it. Debo Samuel, 6,800. So Arizona, just heavy cover three. That is Debo. Debo's a zone killer. I'm okay with Ayuk if you want to get really different or double stack Brock Purdy, but Debo Samuel's probably a priority play for me because I do. Like, something I'm doing almost every week is I'm trying to get a piece, if not multiple, of these very high implied team totals. Vegas is great at that. You want exposure to high-powered offenses that are expected to score a lot of points. San Fran, by far, the highest implied team total. Don't make a lineup without a key San Fran contributor, in my opinion. Debo is going to be that guy for me if it's not Jordan Mason. Right now, I'm leading Debo for the discount. But Trey McBride, sub 5% ownership, coming back from concussion. Yeah, this is a game Kyler should throw it 35 times. I don't understand why they keep running the ball like crazy and killing clock. Like, this is an offense that should go, go, go. Marvin Harrison Jr., 7,500, a steep price, but I do think McBride being back helps him. I was dead on that last week. Like, Washington was doubling Marvin Harrison Jr. after that first drive, so I worried about Marvin paying up for him last week in a, yeah, quote-unquote, the nuts matchup. But I said, like, how much can Washington continue to get their ass kicked by wide receiver ones without making something? And, you know, I'm kind of proud of Joe Witt, you know, like saying the defensive coordinator for Washington, like, I'm going to make someone else beat me. Make Michael Wilson and fucking Greg Dortch beat me. Stack the box so James Conner can't beat me and double Marvin Harrison Jr. with no Trey McBride. seemed like an easy game plan for Washington. And I'm glad, like, I'm not a football coach, so I don't really know shit compared to those guys. But it seems like they did that, like, make fucking Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch beat us. Good luck. And they didn't. And they got their ass kicked, so they deserved it. But, yeah, Arizona needs Trey McBride on the field. Love Trey McBride this week. Moving on to the next game. We'll see what happens with Kittle, but not going to jump in circles to play him. I think Debo is the main benefactor here, and also Jordan Mason getting 25 touches. Game the public loves. I kind of love it, too. The Packers going to the Rams opened up at 48.5. And the total with Green Bay getting three, pretty much sitting there, or giving three, I'm sorry, Green Bay's the favorite. Jordan Love, 6,500, 12% ownership. I think he goes way up if Richardson's moved out. I think he's a cash game staple then at that point. Stafford going to be sub 5% owned. I would much rather have Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray in GPPs, or maybe even like Joe Burrow, but I don't know. I don't really love Cincinnati's offense right now, but it is a pass funnel. So we may see Joe Burrow drop back and throw it 40 times this week. That's going to be wild. Packers defense going to run a lot of cover three. Don't really blitz a lot. And honestly, the Rams pretty much do the same thing. A lot of cover three, don't blitz a lot. So both these teams very high on zone defenses for the Rams. Jordan Whittington seems to be their guy against cover three. And the Packers do not blitz at all. So DeMarcus Robinson could be able to break a deep one here. But Jair is back, so that I'm done. I'm not playing D-Rob. And then Kyren should get a ton of checkdowns in the passing game. So like that's where I want to pay 7K plus for a running back. So it's not Derrick Henry for me. You know, for first priority, it's not Jordan Mason for first priority. I think if I'm paying that much for a running back, it's going to be Kyren Williams, and he's going to be like 25% owned, which is fine. It is what it is. The guy doesn't leave the field, and he's kind of the focal point of their offense. Josh Jacobs, 6,400. Love that. I love both these guys. I love this game. Jordan Whittington, 4,600 again. Like, he's going to be the guy that they're scheming against cover three, kind of doing the Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua thing, finding the holes in the zone. He should have a field day. I have him projected for like 5.2 catches. I think player props are 4.5 with juice on the over. So I like to be close to the market there. That is good. Very interested to see what happens with Romeo Doubs, because I do think Bo Melton will be a sneaky, sneaky darling if he does not play, because the Packers run a ton of 11 personnel. That is three wide receivers. So if Doubs is out, they're not going to change their offense. They are going to bring Bo Melton up there. And we saw, I think he's an Ole Miss dude. He's a very talented player, very fast. He's kind of like a jigsaw piece, similar to Jaden Reed, maybe built a little bit more. But if Doubs isn't there, like, Bo Melton can definitely put up big numbers. I think he had his coming out party last week against the Vikings in Minnesota, but always believed in Bo Melton. So keep an eye on that. Jaden Reed, 6,500. Steep price, but this dude gets just insane usage. Have nothing wrong to say about him. Not going to play pin the tail on the donkey with, like, Tutu Atwell or, you know, like I said, with DeMarcus Robinson, Tyler Johnson, not really interested in that. I think the volume goes to Whittington, and it probably goes to Colby Parkinson and Kyren Williams. Dontavian Wicks, 5K, 20% ownership. Everybody's going to go there. It's a great spot, but it's hard to handicap the Packers offense, even with no Christian Watson. Like, I go through all these coverages, I don't really see anybody getting like a massive bump up. So it's like, yeah, their volume is what it is. So which guy gets in the box? That's where it's like, all right, I would take the savings in Bo Melton and play Jordan Love with him. But I don't know, maybe just to play Tucker Kraft and value stack it, because you have exposure to Wicks and Jaden Reed through Jordan Love. But Tucker Kraft, 3,500, 16% ownership. So I think that's what cash game people are doing, is going Jordan Love, Tucker Kraft, maybe even Dontavian Wicks. I don't think you should stack that much in cash games, but who knows? That's probably what the field will do. Colby Parkinson, 3,700. I like him. I got him for four catches. That's a good spot here. This game has a ton of sex appeal. Last game, the Giants in Seattle. I'm going to say fuck that game too. I love DK Metcalf here, but I'm probably not paying 7K when there's just absolutely no pressure on the other side from the Giants to score. Seattle's defense is probably the best play in this game. So, yeah, overall, just a quick recap. Favorite games, Green Bay, Rams, Arizona, San Fran. I do like the one-offs in that low total in Denver with Brock Bowers and Cortland Sutton. Cleveland, Washington, probably going to be a fade spot for me. I do think people will play Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson. I need you guys to hold me accountable. I can't keep playing Deshaun Watson like this when all they do is just march down on the first drive, score, and do nothing the rest of the fucking game. Indy, Jacksonville, love that one. Maybe Baltimore, Cincinnati, but I don't know, maybe Chicago's offense is sneaky too. But good luck to everybody this week. I'm sorry I had to fly through this one, but there's just too much injury news to wait for. So hit me up on Twitter, Discord at Win Daily Sports, promo code STIX. Good luck to everybody this week. Thank you guys so much for the support. It's been a blast doing this show, and we've seen a ton of success. But need to get that cash game back in the winning circle. So 3 for 4 so far this year on cash. I do expect to hit about 70% throughout the season for cash game lineups. I will have the playbook written up at Win Daily Sports for the cash Fab 5, and then also show you my GPP core for... Maybe I'll include early only on that, but again, I don't really like decide my early only until ownership's completely in at like Sunday morning at 10 a.m. But yeah, good luck to everybody. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for the support.